and WBAI.org on the web. The previous program was the Gary Noel Show, heard Monday through Friday at noon. It is now 1 p.m. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind coming up.
Hi, everybody. Ben Starr here with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. In the studio with me today, Kevin O'Donohue, as always.
Hey, Ben Starr.
And our guest, Nasima Diane Deemer, our associate and longtime guest and friend here at the center. Nasima, thanks for coming today.
Hi, Ben. Hi, Kevin. It's great to be here. It's been a while.
Great to have you. And I just want to say hello to all of our loyal listeners and to our new listeners and our new members of the Positive Mind family. Hello to Chris up in the Bronx. Thanks for tuning in today, Chris. And to everyone across the five boroughs, the tri-state area, and listening online. Today, we want to continue the topic that we've sort of been in these last few weeks. We've been discussing relationships, intimate relationships, romantic love relationships, and it's something that we've received a lot of feedback from you on, that you want to learn more about the dynamics of relationships, interpersonal relationships, how they work, how to maintain them, and how to make them healthier. And we thought we'd do just that today.
Make them better. And a shout out to Janine, who called in last week. Janine, sorry we couldn't go into the second part of that exercise that we did, but you know, people commented on how helpful your call was, so we thank you for your call and hanging in there with us to demonstrate that idea that we were really trying to get at, which is the basis of attraction. Yes, we do know that, yes, opposites attract in the short term. It sure works. Attraction, opposites are really fascinating in the short term. But in long-term relationships, the opposites really don't work so well. And one of the reasons is evolutionarily, because when somebody is so very different from us, we end up having to carry their energy and carry their baggage, as it were.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if they're vastly different from them, to really get into their head and to understand them and enjoy them, which is really the goal of intimacy, to really get to know your partner, sometimes when they're so very, very different, you end up trying to speed things up so that you can go about and do your life. So intimacy takes a back seat, and you end up carrying things from the partner that initially were attractive, but in the long term end up feeling like baggage. So we talked a lot about last week about the attraction of what's missing in relationships, that often we are unconsciously attracted to people that we think are going to fix us or fix something in us. And we talked about this idea of wound to wound, that it's not like to like, or it's not even opposites attract. It's like my wound is interested in your wound. I like the way you're kind of missing something in life. And that's what's attracting me to you. And you know what? I kind of have that too. And I think if we get together, maybe I'll be able to fix it.
Yeah, but I think long term the problem that may come up is that you're too focused on the wound and you lose the person, and the person with whom you were originally attracted to, and how, you know, in the beginning of a relationship, in that attraction phase, there's a lot of fun, there's a lot of play, there's a lot of you know, curiosity, and then if it becomes a committed relationship, I think that kind of falls,
becomes less, very serious.
And it becomes very serious, and then you're in the wound territory.
Yes, and then you're aware of, well, it's not as much fun as it used to be.
Right.
She or he doesn't compliment me like they used to.
Yeah. You get bogged down in
and
daily
what's missing, and
stressors.
Yes, and I'd rather read the paper, or I'd rather watch the game,
right,
or I'd rather do a lot of other things, because you know what? It's all too serious.
Right.
It's all too serious. And so we end up kind of being quiet with our partner, subtly wanting something from them, but really relating to them from our own wound to their own wound. So we gave the example last week about frustration, the things that frustrate you about your partner. And Janine was really brave to walk us through this. And we use the example of lateness. So we just want to do this really quickly because we have another topic we want to go into today. But it's really, really very helpful because ultimately if you can go through this, you can start asking for what you want.
And we can understand mm-hmm. the dynamics of the interactions that we have with our partner right. in terms of someone's actions and the effects of those actions on the other partner in terms of feelings, thoughts, and then the reactions.
Yeah, yeah. Behaviors.
Right. Yeah. Have you ever been to a party and your spouse or your girlfriend or somebody all of a sudden tells a joke about you or makes fun of you or does something that, you know,
yeah,
all of a sudden just like, where did that come from?
That suddenly sort of opens that wound right in front of everybody.
Oh, yeah. Whoa, I thought we were on the same team here.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I thought we were on the same team. I thought at least you'd protect me out in public. And
sure.
here you are exposing me out in public.
Right.
These are the kinds of frustrations that can happen. You mm-hmm. know, they're not the biggest deal in the world, but they're wounds that can happen like in an instant.
Yeah.
And you don't get a chance to process it. You're at a party, let's say.
Right.
And you know, they mount up. So we talked about lateness last week. Now, all of you could have any number of examples. And we encourage you to, like, not beat up your partner, but to identify how do they, you know, do it to you? How do they frustrate me all the time?
Well, also another word is trigger. How does my partner trigger me?
Mm-hmm.
How does my partner maybe make me feel unsafe?
Yes.
Perfect. How does my partner feel unsafe? Because that's where we're going. Last week we said that at the end of the column, the fifth column was fear. So there's frustration. So if my partner is late all the time, you know, that frustrates me. And if it's chronic, I get angry, really angry. Some people get really, really angry at lateness. And then I have a thought. So you have the anger, then you have the thought, I must not be that valuable to that mm-hmm. person. They must not respect me or something.
Yeah, and then that moves into a reaction, into a behavior. Like, I'm just going to get up and leave. You know, they're late, I'm going to leave. Screw them.
I'm going to yell or I'm going to passive aggress. Yeah. I'm just going to leave, like you say.
Exactly.
I'm going to insult them or blame them or whatever.
But that's all a negative cycle. It's just reinforcing, in a way, the initial mm-hmm. slight.
Yeah, and mostly, Ben, people don't get past this part of the reaction.
Yeah.
They just stay in the reaction. I'm entitled to yell. I'm entitled to leave. I'm entitled to do X, Y, Z.
And sure, you are. There's no doubt
yes.
about that. But is it really going to ameliorate the situation? Is it really going to bring a sense of harmony and closure and safety?
Yeah.
Where, you know, which is what was lacking initially. I don't think so.
No, it definitely isn't. In fact, all the research says you have to get past the reaction. What your reaction is, what your behavior is. And last week we said, you know, often addiction starts here. Addiction
right.
doesn't go beyond the reaction stage. You're not digesting the emotions that I feel that enable me to go and have a drink or a drug or something. Mm-hmm. You're staying in the reaction.
Yeah.
And because of the reaction, because of the thought that you have, hey, maybe I'm not that worthy.
Right.
Maybe I am somebody who should be people can be late for. Maybe
right.
I'm not. My time is not valuable.
And if we backtrack before the thought, there was the feeling.
Yes.
And the feeling is something upon which we build a narrative. Yeah? And that narrative brings yeah. us to the reaction.
That's a good point. Often, like, your body feels something and you create a story around it. So that's
yeah.
why in this sequence, after the feeling comes the thought. The thought doesn't come first. First the feeling, then the thought.
Yeah.
And so feeling
and
really does generate the story.
It does. It does. And we often don't take responsibility for those feelings. And that, you know, so we just move through to the thought, to the reaction. Oh, now it's my partner's job to make me feel better.
Right. It's all in their court.
Now it's suddenly, now you're into blame.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in a fight and nobody's communicating and it's really serious and it's really painful.
And this is where it gets really sad, very sad, really sad.
Yeah.
Because if you just go this next step,
mm-hmm.
or these next two steps, but this next step, the fear.
Mm-hmm.
What is the fear that the thought creates?
Yeah.
Because rather than get to the fear, people get to the reaction.
Yeah.
And so the thought is, you know, maybe I'm not worthy for somebody to show up on time.
Right.
And then the fear is, maybe she's right.
But we don't want to get to that fear, Kevin, because that gets to a place of vulnerability, which is scary
yeah.
in and of itself. So the reaction is the defense mechanism.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a lot easier to feel like I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to strike back.
Right.
Right? Yeah. I'm going to respond with more aggression or negativity right. or hostility or shouting.
And then you have right. two people with their arms crossed looking at each other wondering what happened.
And we haven't gotten all's anywhere.
All I was late.
And we haven't gotten anywhere at this point.
I haven't gotten anywhere.
We want to talk right. about strategies to break that cycle and strategies to bring back a feeling of safety in the interpersonal dynamic.
Yeah. So here's the idea. You hang in there with the fear, and it's tough. It's a real difficult thing to realize, you know what? I've been running from this feeling my whole life that maybe I am unworthy. You know, maybe I am not somebody who should be taken seriously, whose time is not that valuable, whose people can walk all over. Mm-hmm. And on some level, you've been carrying that feeling. And this is what the theory and the research is saying about being attracted to somebody who has that exact same fear.
Yeah.
I talked about a while back when we did some shows on cognitive behavioral therapy that ultimately people have two fears. One is that I'm unlovable, and the other is that I'm helpless. Mm-hmm. And that's it. All of our thoughts, and when we do cognitive behavioral therapy, you go down and down and down. What does that thought mean? What does that thought mean? What does that thought mean? When did you first have that thought? And then you can start repairing. So the last step, if you can hang in there and get to the fear, maybe I'm not worthy, you can turn to your partner and tell them what you want.
Yeah.
This is where intimacy comes.
Right. And I'll just sort of interject in between the reaction and that feeling, that knowing of what the feeling really is, that fear.
Mm.
You need to stop. You need to stop in that, before the behavior comes out. You know, it's like you might have the thought of the behavior. But if you can just sort of dial back just a little bit, like, oh, my God, here I am ready to yell. If I can just stop myself. And...
Yeah.
Okay.
Pause.
What is it I'm feeling, really? Oh, I'm really feeling like I have no value.
So here's a question like Armand would always ask. Which parent, how can I do his voice? All right, I won't do his voice. Which parent did you most often have that feeling with?
Yeah.
That I'm not worthy or
right.
I'm not valuable.
Right.
I'm not important.
And
my time doesn't matter,
exactly.
Et cetera, et cetera. So here's where intimacy, and this is the positive mind on WBAI 99.5. This is where positivity comes in, because here we have a litany of negativity, frustration, bad feeling, bad thought, bad reaction, bad fear. Here's where positivity comes. Now I can turn to supposedly my lifelong partner, my intimate partner, my partner who I've shared my depths with, and say, you know, what I really want is for you to value me.
Right.
I really want you to value my time.
Right.
I need, at this stage of my life, you know, I grew up not feeling like my time was valuable, not feeling like I had value, not feeling worthy.
Right.
I need in this relationship and in my life to go forward to feel valuable. Can you do that for me? And that's it.
Right.
And today we'd like to hear from your experiences and perspectives where you feel like you fall into this cycle that we've described. So let us know. Give us a call, 212-757-5555. And let us know, what is it about your partners that make you feel safe? And
That's a great idea.
If not, if you don't feel safe with your partner, what is it that's making you feel unsafe with your partner? And maybe we can unpack that a bit. 212-757-5555.
Yeah, because I think what you're saying, like when somebody is late, you know, I almost feel helpless. It becomes that helpless feeling. So to get down to the two feelings, unlovable or helpless, it gets down to that feeling of I have nothing. I can't do anything about this. He's always late. She's always late.
Well, and there's sort of a rupture in the kind of contract around, you know, I see you as valuable, you see me as valuable, worthy, all these things. That's why we got into relationship together. And all of a sudden, that's not happening. Right. And I'm not getting confirmation of that. And now I'm starting to question, and I don't feel safe anymore.
The new research, the one thing everybody is looking for in a relationship is safety.
Right.
Not sex, not a big house, not a nice car.
It's what our
not
systems,
nice clothes.
It's what our systems are wired to find is safety.
This is why you're here today, Nasima.
Yep.
Nasima is here to tell us about how feelings work in the body and nervous system.
Now the nervous system.
And how you can get yourself back to position of safety. So let's just say that every wound or every slight that your partner does makes you feel less and less safe. When you go to a party mm-hmm. and your partner is making a joke about you or talking about you, ultimately it scratches that, I don't really feel fully safe.
Yeah.
When else are they going to betray me?
Right. Exactly. And then you get hypervigilant. You start looking for it. And then yeah. that, again, narrows your focus, narrows your options. Now you're looking for the nail to hammer on, right?
So it's this vigilance. Tell us about the autonomic nervous system. Is the autonomic nervous system running our lives?
In many ways, unconsciously it is. The autonomic nervous system is known as being two branches of the nervous system, the parasympathetic or our rest and digest, and the sympathetic nervous system, which is the fight or flight. I think a lot of people know fight or flight, and very few know parasympathetic. Now, new research has brought two branches to the parasympathetic, one being social
Hold
engagement.
Hold on, slow down. So parasympathetic is rest and digest. It's yeah. what the body does when it is at peace.
When it's at peace, when it feels safe.
Like when it sleeps, is sleeping part of the parasympathetic
yes,
nervous
it is.
System?
So, yes, it is. Your ability to fall asleep and stay asleep is part of parasympathetic.
And pumping blood and all that stuff.
Well,
and breathing.
Both, yeah, both systems innervate the same organs, but they do different things.
Okay.
Give different signals to those organs. So,
so the autonomic system is like the umbrella, and then there's the parasympathetic nervous system and the sympathetic nervous system. Yeah. What's the sympathetic nervous system?
That's our fight and flight. That's what comes in when we determine that things aren't safe.
Okay.
And how do we determine that things are safe? Through seeing, looking around, and through our, you know, facial, you know, seeing facial expressions of others, tone of voice, quality of interaction, social engagement tells us whether we're in a safe environment or not. And that's the first level of the nervous system altogether.
Right.
We come into a room, into a party, we determine whether we're safe or not. Now, the interesting thing about the example you gave,
yeah.
if I come into a party where I'm not feeling comfortable and then my partner makes a joke about me, it ratchets up my fight or flight. I want to get out of there.
Of course.
If I come into a party and I'm really comfortable and I love all these people, I know them, maybe I'll just laugh along and it doesn't hurt so much.
Mm.
So this is where, you know, it's like I feel safe with these people. I know they're not judging
okay.
me.
Okay, right.
So this is what makes it
so are you, yeah.
so interesting.
We're going to get back to this. We have,
yeah.
Okay.
So important. It seems like we have a call.
Yeah, well, let's hear from Ingrid. Ingrid, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Hi, thanks for calling in.
In your discussion about how the partner suffers when you are late, well, I'm the offending party. I'm the who is reliably late, okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Reliably late. And all my life, and I've learned to deal with it because it's an issue. I hesitate to make appointments. I never leave anybody, make an appointment where somebody's waiting outside or on a street corner.
Ingrid, were you angry at your mother?
At times, yes.
Yeah. Does she ever know it and, like, acknowledge your anger at her and sort of?
God, yes.
She did.
She cried, you know, when I angered her. She told me because I was a rambunctious little girl who contradicted her all the time. She told me I was the devil, and she saw horns growing out from my forehead already, which scared me a lot because checking in the mirror, and she told me that my children would pay me back for the hurt I've caused her. So I decided to nip that in the bud and not have children ever.
So she put a hex on you.
That was just, you know, when I was little, but then later decided, you know, consciously, no, I was not willing to be that selfless and let my life.
So you are angry. I mean, you are late with everybody in your life.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Everybody. I have difficulty with keeping my appointments.
Yeah.
With everybody. With my psychiatrist, with my friends, with everybody.
Wow. I think it's rooted in this, the hex your mom put on you. Is it possible that, you know, she's still around. Every time you're every time you're late, that, you know, you're getting a little bit even with mom.
Well, my mother passed in 1992, and I greatly love my mother, very much revere her. Brilliant, brilliant woman, writing poetry, showing me the joys in life, singing, telling us stories, teaching us old ballads. She was a remarkable, remarkable woman who shared herself and was helpful to everyone and was a benefit in this world. She was a number nine, numerologically speaking, you know, evolved being. Yeah. Yeah. No, I've learned to, after she passed, I was devastated because I felt like somebody the rug out from me. My safety net was gone. And yes, came to appreciate her more and more and more as the years passed.
Wow. I think you still keep her around, though.
Absolutely.
You're keeping her around in this way by being late for everybody. That's just my theory. You know, Ingrid, we got to thank you for calling in. We have other callers. So thank you for calling. Call us back, okay?
I will. Thanks, bye.
Thanks, Ingrid. 212-757-5555. 212-757-5555. That was brave. She was brave.
And
she's willing to say, I do this all the time. I'm always late.
Right, and I'm curious how people would react to that. You know, how that feels, you know, like if she's had different interactions or ruptures, or maybe she's very good at repairing that behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she knows how to make people feel special even though she's late.
Yeah.
You know, I'm curious about that.
And making sure nobody else can disappoint her. If she's the one who's going to be late all the time, they can't get to me first.
Yeah.
212-757-5555. 212-757-5555. How do you feel unsafe in your relationship? Does your partner show up late all the time? Does your partner, you know,
is your partner emotionally unavailable?
Use social interactions as a way to get back at you?
Or maybe, you know, does your partner just come home and maybe ignore you or demand things of you or demand that the space be a certain way or demand that you approach them a certain way?
There are
all things that can happen.
I wouldn't feel safe.
Yeah.
You know, if my partner were doing that. You know, to expect the house to be a certain way, and when it's not, it's all on me.
Right. It can be really limiting. It can be very it can instill fear or terror. Again, maybe recapitulating some old pattern from the past.
So you talked about the parasympathetic, sympathetic, rest and digest, or the what was the other one? Fight or flight.
Rest and
digest. What is the other piece to this? So we're pretty much run by our autonomic nervous system, and we want to get to a place where our system is at rest.
Yeah.
That's what safety does.
That's what safety does. It brings us to a place of rest. It brings us to a place of healing, of restoration, of, you know, it takes a lot. I mean, just think of the need for safety to lay down in a bed with someone and become unconscious together. You have to feel safe. You have to feel like nothing's going to, you know, come and get you. And there's something about being together. I mean, we're wired to be together, to be connected. We're not wired to be alone. We're wired to be together and to, you know, establish a certain capacity for safety together.
Let's take another call. We have Brenda on the line. Hi, Brenda.
Hi.
Hi, Brenda.
Hi, Brenda.
Hi. I'm calling about lateness.
Yeah.
Can you lower down your radio down there?
Yeah.
I don't have
noise in the background.
Oh.
I don't have radio on.
Okay. Have you got us on speakerphone?
Yes.
Can you take us off speaker?
Can you hear?
That's a little better.
Yeah, there's a bit of an echo. But
now I can't hear you.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, anyway, I wanted to talk about my girlfriends who are always late. And this drives men nuts.
It drives you nuts.
Women are never ready.
Right.
And with myself being a female, it's very frustrating. Mm-hmm. But it's all about control. That's my opinion.
They're controlling you.
Yeah, they're trying to control the situation for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that familiar to you?
I do,
yeah, go ahead.
What I do, then I become late.
Yeah.
And they'll text me and they'll tell me, well, I'm here, or where are you?
Yeah.
So it's like a payback.
Right. Brenda, right. I've learned my own strategy in dealing with my friends and family members who are chronically late. And here's what I do. And, you know, it may be a little bit cynical, but I found that it works. Let's say you're going to go and you're going to meet and you're going to say, well, let's go see a movie at 7:30. If the movie's at 7:30, you tell them the movie's at 7. And then you get there at 7:30 and they're just showing up. I know it is a little bit cynical and it's a little funny, but I have to say it works.
Yeah.
In my experience, and it's just one strategy I've used with chronically late individuals.
Well, I've done that also. I'll set a time, but then I'll come like 15 or half hour late, and they're just coming in.
So,
but it is very annoying. I mean, there's no reason for it, really.
So, Brenda, I'm curious, how do you repair the relationship? You're still friends with these women, so how do you go about repairing it with them? How do you establish safety again with them?
Well, I accept everyone where they're at to a certain point, and then I won't take it anymore. I just, you know, won't be friends anymore.
Then you break the friendship.
If it comes to the point where I see that they're taking advantage.
Yeah.
Right.
Because sometimes it does come to a point, you know, where they take advantage of you.
Right. Do you have a friend who maybe isn't late?
Excuse me?
Do you have any friends who aren't late?
Who aren't?
Yeah, who show up on time.
They claim they're always on time, but they're not also.
Yeah.
And they get upset when I tell them, and they have excuses.
Right.
The last thing, Brenda, is what would you rather instead?
Yeah.
What would I?
What would you rather instead? So you have friends who are always late, and then you get back at them by being late yourself. And you know this system doesn't work. What is it you would really like to say? What is it you want?
What is it that I want?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I tell them that they're never on time.
Well, instead,
I will tell them, and I expect them to be on time.
Yeah, that's just telling
them.
That's just telling them what you want them to do. But what is it you really want
from the relationship with them? What do you want?
Well, other than that, they're more or less, you know, good people. But it is just annoying when they're always on time and you're waiting.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna throw it at you, Brenda. I think you want somebody to tell you, you know what, Brenda, you are a special, valuable person, and I will never be late for you because I really honor your friendship.
I want to show up.
How
and
does that
be
sound?
On time and have as much time as possible with you.
Well, maybe they think I'm too special. That's why they
do it. That's no way to honor specialness. Brenda, we got to go. We're going to take a break, but thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Brenda.
212-757-5555. We got a lot of calls on the lateness thing. We are talking.
Yeah, it's really an example, Ben. We're really just using it as an example of what things our partners do to frustrate us. So we're not looking for you to call us about people who are late or what your theories are about being late. We're really asking you to tell us how your partner frustrates you, what thoughts that engenders in you, what fear you run up against, and what it is you really want instead. Because, you know, we're saying that ultimately we really just want in relationships somebody who we can feel at peace with, relaxed with, at ease with, our autonomic nervous system at rest with, right?
Totally. It desires this. This is what we're always looking for. This is what our system, our body is looking for, is craving, is that ability to rest with another.
Yeah. So when people come in to see me and, you know, they tell us our sex life is finished, we're not having sex, we're not relating, we don't talk, he watches TV, I do chores, I read books, I do other things, I'm on my tablet. I ask them, how safe do you feel with him? How safe does she feel with you?
And it can be a safety to be able to express how you're feeling.
It certainly can. I mean, that's when it's encouraging, when somebody can say, you know, I don't feel very safe with him, or I don't feel safe with her. They do X, Y, and Z, and it makes me feel X, Y, and Z, and I get these thoughts about myself. And how could anybody feel safe under those conditions?
Exactly.
There's no way I feel safe. So it's, you know, the research is telling us that the one thing your body and your nervous system and your spirit is craving, is wanting, is rest from this fight and flight response.
Yep.
And have somebody that I can just relax with.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We are coming up on our break here on The Positive Mind on 99.5 FM WBAI. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue and Nasima Diane Deemer. Today we're talking about relationships and how to feel safe in the context of your relationship. And we're taking your calls on what your partner does that makes you feel safe or unsafe. So let us know at 212-757-5555. That is the number to call. And we're curious to hear what makes you feel safe in your relationship and what makes you feel unsafe. So one more time, that number to call is 212-757-5555. We'll be back right after this musical break. Stay tuned.
Green, 1971, Let's Stay Together. You see, even 45 years later, we want people to stay together. What is it going to take for
46
you? 46 years, sorry. Yeah. What's it going to take for you to stay together? Well, my theory is you're not going to stay together long if you don't get past the reaction stage, that you have to get to your fears when you're insulted by your partner, by their behavior. If you don't get past your reaction, you're not going to last 41 years, so 46 years. So got to get to that fear and then what you really want. We have a caller on the line.
Yeah, let's hear from Sonia. Hi, Sonia.
Hi, how are you?
Hey,
good.
Sonia.
So I really like this topic, and it really started making me think about, you know, this whole issue of people who ignore you or don't pay attention to you or don't treat you with respect. And I was thinking that, you know, I remember that when I was really young, I can remember that my parents kind of ignored me, except when they wanted me to do something for them.
Yeah, yeah.
Take out the trash or something, do the dishes.
You know, babysit.
Mm. Right.
You know, it was always like I could never do enough for them. Yeah.
So your nervous system maybe not, it was never really fully relaxed around them. Is that fair to say?
I would say that's definitely the case. I never could talk to them about anything.
Right.
And as a result, I didn't even talk to my sisters that much.
Right.
And
right.
So, Yeah.
So
that's had a big impact on me.
So we're going to post these columns on our website, thepositivemindcenter.com, just so you can do this exercise, Sonia. You can really pick like 3 to 5 frustrations you have and get to the thought you have about yourself because of this. It sounds to me like you didn't deserve this.
Well, that's definitely the case.
That's right. Yeah. And you might not be deserving anything. Not the good stuff that you're not getting right now. You know, you might deserve some really good stuff, but it sounds like this stuff is weighing you down a little bit.
Yeah, I get frustrated when I replicate that pattern where, you know, I get taken for granted.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I get really angry.
Yeah. And what's the thought that goes with that anger?
The thought that goes with it is that I'm being treated badly.
Yeah.
Basically, that's the you know, and I'm angry because I don't feel like I can change it.
Mm.
Only thing I can do is
It's so familiar. It's been happening for so long and so often that it feels like you're not going to be able to change this.
Right. It's like the reciprocity isn't there.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're going to need to speak up, Sonia. Anyway, Nassima wants to chime in, but I'm going to add a closing thought after Nassima.
I'm curious, as you have these feelings and these thoughts, how do you behave? How does that come out in your relationships? What do you feel like you do?
I start pulling. I start pulling away.
You start pulling away, and
where before I was engaged, and I'm trying to contribute to something.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I start, you know, saying, you know, this is not working, and I start, you know, I'll complain, but usually, since I'm attracting people who are like my parents and my sisters, you know, they don't change.
Yes, that's right.
Right.
Especially if you don't tell them, look, you make me feel like I'm not valuable, like I'm worthless when you treat me this way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there
Is there a truth to that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so your mission, you know, your work nowadays is to tell people, you know, first of all, to attract only people that are going to show you that you're valuable and be around only people that are going to show you that you have worth, you have value. And the other thing is people who are going to tell you or you tell them, you know, I am valuable. I don't deserve this kind of treatment anymore. I want to feel worthwhile, like you treasure being with me. Because I hear, Sonia, that you're tired.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of tired?
Well, I'm definitely tired of that.
Yeah.
And this is a good opportunity to sort of say, this is how I'm feeling. Am I able to express this and sort of own that this is my feeling and maybe get curious about how can I maybe approach this in a different way? What might be a way that I can enter this situation and own my feelings that could possibly crop up, but just pause and maybe see, is there another way that I can do this?
Mm.
So Sonia, thank you for calling. There's a lot to unpack here, but I think you're very much worth it. And check out our website because this exercise is going to be up there. And you can try maybe three or four different frustrations that seem to keep happening in your life and what thoughts and fears you're having behind it. So please call us back, okay?
All right.
Be well. Have a great day.
Thank you, Sonia. 212-757-5555, the number to call. We are really looking forward to hearing from those of you who are connecting with this topic and connect with this idea that there are things that your partner can do that make you feel safe, and there are things your partner can do to make you feel unsafe. And where is our responsibility in that feeling, right?
Yeah.
Where do we need to take responsibility for maybe how we're dealing with it, and where do we need to put our foot down, like in Sonia's case, mm-hmm. and say, hey, you know what? Mm-hmm. I am valuable, and I do deserve better than this. Let's take another quick call. We have JC on the line. Thanks for holding, JC.
Hey. Hi. Hello, everyone.
Hey, JC.
I know we're talking about safety and then feeling unsafe with our mates. I'm married. Mm-hmm. I am Muslim, and we have a culture whereas we don't really get into some of the subcultures. Mm-hmm. However, I have passions. I am human, and I try to be modest, but my mate makes it, I feel unsafe when he questions my passions that go outside of the Islamic
acceptance.
Confines.
Is that what you mean by not getting into subcultures? I'm trying to understand the first thing you said.
Well, subcultures, like, for example, outside of religion, like to be religious is one thing, but I'm not just my religion. I am a person, and when I want to exercise or express myself, it's like, I, as a mate, I thought when we connected that I finally found someone that I can participate in. Now, giving an example, simple stuff.
Yeah. I think I know what you're getting at. Two things. One is that this is really a tough problem for couples in general, because you have a lot of passion about something and his religion or his culture won't allow him to join you in that passion. Is that right?
Yes, and for me. However, there is a balance in life without crossing certain lines.
Yeah.
And that's one thing. And then the other, like you said, that can be complex. But another thing, as far as intimacy, where I feel unsafe when I'm told that when there's a change in my life, like from a job and income, and the control factor is, oh, everything's going to be okay, but when it's time for me to take care of my bills that are not extreme or anything, he has to validate whether or not it's valid, like if it's retail.
Yeah,
no,
so you can't really
life insurance.
You can't really trust him to be there when he says, oh, it's no problem, and then then it becomes a problem. So he's
I fear.
Yeah, of course you do. Of course you do. That you're getting, you're being told one thing, and then when crunch time comes, you're being contradicted and left out on your own to dry. So
and controlled, whereas it makes me uncomfortable, and I just have to fall in line, and I'm fighting to. I'm not fighting. I'm struggling within my own being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can hear it.
I can't be who I am, even my own strength.
Yeah.
Right. My own personal strength. I'm fighting. I have to suppress it, and
of course,
it's not a good feeling.
No, it sure isn't. And I think you're longing. So let's get to the desire part, okay? Because you're longing to have a partner who does what he says he's going to do.
Yes, and participate in one passion.
Yes, like, and someone who, can't join me in all of my passions, but is going to join me at least in a few of them.
Right, and how about investing? Like, when I want to talk about certain things, it's challenging. I'll have the heart. I'll put my foot down, not in a negative way. And I time it. I try to soften it and I just really time, and then it's like, okay, he hears, but the investment is avoid, the investment is not invested by his action of avoiding the conversation, or when it's time to talk, will stay up so late at night that I end up laying down and he'll make sure I'm asleep so that we don't have to have that talk.
That's what weekends are for, JC. Yeah. You are entitled to have this conversation. We could go more into this. You can check out the website, thepositivemindcenter.com. But you deserve to have a conversation about this and to get into what you really want. I hear it. So you can send me an email, Kevin at the Positive Mind, or the Positive Mind at WBAI.org. So thank you.
Thanks,
JC. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for listening and for calling. 212-757-5555. We're wondering what it is in your relationships that either make you feel safe, what it is that your partner does and make you feel safe, or how your partner makes you feel unsafe.
So she doesn't feel safe. I mean, he says that he's going to, you know, don't worry, you lost your job, you have bills, I'll help you out, we'll get through this. And it turns out in crunch time he's not there. So I talk about not feeling safe. And there are a lot of people that go through this,
and
you know?
He's kind of curtailing her freedom to follow her passions.
Right.
And to be creative. And it just sounds like, you know, she's kind of hitting up against a wall there.
And sometimes, you know, people get into this, that they have unsolvable problems. She has this problem where his religion will not allow him to do certain things. So and it's okay. I mean, we have to accept that certain relationships, in fact, all relationships have some problems that can't be solved, that you have to come to peace with on your own.
Yes.
And this could be one for her, but not that all of her passions are unacceptable.
Right.
Let's hear from Maria. Hi, Maria.
Yeah, I'm calling on behalf that I was seeing this girl, and her best friend told me, are you aware that she's bisexual? After I went out with her for 2 years, I didn't know nothing. And I kept spending airline tickets going, restaurant over there and over here, and I like to see how can I feel like she took me for food, and I want to get the money. I have the pictures. I got her family address, and I don't want to open my mouth because I will do it.
Yeah, of course you're in a.
I'm gonna make her embarrassed from her job and her grandkids.
Okay, hold on, Maria, hold on, because that's the easy part, right? I mean, you can be reactive and be angry and be justified, and she's not who you say. But the bottom line is, you're being betrayed. You've been betrayed. Right?
Oh yeah.
But and
the
only
thing
slow down.
I want her to give me back the money.
Of course,
I'm going to give it to the HPCA. And if she doesn't give me, I'm going to talk to her. If she doesn't give me nothing, then I'm going to tell her whole family. She's 58 years old.
Right, Maria. I understand. So this is really, really painful. If I had the time, I would slow you down a little bit.
Slow you down.
Let's take her out of the picture.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Let's take. You're not communicating with her today. She's not here right now. Tell us about being betrayed in life.
Not here right now.
It hurts.
No.
Yeah. It's like stabbing somebody in the back, not trusting the person. And I know her for 20 years ago, and she always said I'm a good person, but I didn't expect this for her until her first partner told me, do you know that she's bisexual? I said, I didn't know this.
Yeah, so she was somebody you've known for a long time. You wanted to get close to her. She complimented you. Then you had a chance to be close to her, and then you found out she wasn't who you thought she was.
Right.
Yeah. So that's
58 years old. And I don't like this.
So of course, even if it's at 23 years old or you're 15 years old, the bottom line, Maria, is that it hurts.
I left her.
Yeah, but it hurts.
And the thing is, she wanted me back. She wanted me to go back to her, and I told her no.
I understand. So that's.
But now everything that happened in Puerto Rico, I got to wait until everything is done so I could talk to her face to face.
Yeah. So how about in life in general? Do you feel safe?
Yeah, I feel safe. I'm a very strong person. I'm very loyal, very giving, very caring. I give. Uh-huh. I feed the cat and the cat in the street. But, I mean, she took me. I didn't know this.
Okay. I got it. I got that.
What about being strong makes you feel safe?
Oh, being strong, I'm responsible. I take care of myself. I pay my bills. I help my mom. I help my neighbors. Mm.
Yeah, and what is the feeling of safety for you? What does that feel like?
Secure.
Secure. Yeah. Secure meaning that, you know, nobody is going, you know, I've got control of my world.
Yes, nobody never done this to me. And I'm 62 years old.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
all right, so Maria, we have we appreciate your call. You've never called us before. We want you to call us again in the future. I want to slow you down a little bit more. I'm tempted to spend more time, but we have to take the next call. But thank you for this. Thanks for taking this chance and calling us. Bye bye.
What's your advice?
My advice is twofold. My advice is first, you know, you have to slow down, Maria. You need to take her out of the picture. You need to say
out of the picture. I just want her to see everything.
Take her out of the picture and ask yourself, how do I really feel about this? What does this say about me? What is this saying about me? And then once you go through the pain of that, you ask yourself, what do I deserve and what do I want from people in the future, especially people?
Right.
That's one thing. And then the other thing I would say is let people affect you again. It sounds like you've turned that off a little bit. That you're not you're so strong that you're guarded against anybody getting in there with you.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't worry about her. I don't want her back.
No, not her. I'm talking.
I just want the money.
Not her. I'm talking about new people. So
that's right. I want the airline ticket. It's almost $8,000. She's got to pay me back.
Oh my. All right, Maria. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much. Bye. Have a
Thank
nice
you,
day.
Maria. 212-757-5555. And you know, Maria, I think should actually feel good that she did have the strength to walk away and say, hey, you know, I respect myself enough to not continue a situation with a person who didn't respect me and who showed disregard towards me and who was dishonest with me. And that takes a lot of strength in and of itself.
Yeah, but and I agree. She does have that strength and she'll probably always have that strength. That's great. But somehow this is a repeated thing. I don't think this is a one-time deal with Maria. And her strength is obvious, but there's even more strength underneath once you start saying, get beyond my reaction, like she wants her money back. And her whole reaction to this incident is based on getting her money back. If once she gets the money back, then the whole thing goes away. And we want her to go a little further and say, well, hold it. What do I want going forward in my life?
Kevin, we have Sandra on the line.
Yes.
Hey, Sandra.
Yes, hi. Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
What I wanted to address was the problem of feel unsafe or disregarded in one part of the relationship with a male. Yeah. So what happens is I notice with my boyfriend when it's a discussion, whether it's not frivolous discussion, but any kind of discussion. If I'm in the midst and he's with the guys and it's a discussion, and if we're watching a CD or a DVD, something he can pause. Mm-hmm. When the men are speaking, it doesn't matter. He'll pause and interrupt and listen to the long-winded that they're talking about, and it happens over and over. Mm. And then when I try to speak in, like if you're watching something or a discussion, or wait a minute, I didn't understand that, or go back, oh, yeah. I mean, that's the kind of reaction I get.
Sure.
You know, or like,
so you have a big frustration here.
Yes, or shh, the movie's going. But I'm like, but wait a minute, when you're with the guys, you can pause, you can discuss.
Is he kind of telling you that you're not equal to us?
Yeah. What I have to say is not valuable. And when I speak to him about it, because sometimes not to embarrass him, I don't say it in front of the guys, but like on another time or later on I'll say, well, or if it comes up when I am with him alone and watching something, I said, well, isn't that strange? When you're with the guys, you can pause and listen and converse. Mm-hmm. And get back to it, but with me, it's an interruption. And he said, oh, do I do that? I said, yes, every time.
See, he doesn't even see it. So he's probably doing other things. And so your frustration is really a good tool. This is an opportunity for you. Because he sounds like he's not aware of a bunch of things that he's doing, and he's not aware that you are getting the feeling that I am not valuable.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Sandra, could you turn the radio down?
Radio is off, but
I can hear myself.
What happens is the subway, the train is passing a lot.
Oh, you call it from
window.
There. Fine.
I'm home, but I'm right by the subway.
Oh, there it is.
So
thank you. We love being in New York. This is so good.
I close the window, yes.
So, but no, Sandra, here. Just let me finish that thought, because it sounds like he'll listen if you help him become aware. So you don't have to stay in the hurt of this. You can really go towards him and tell him, look, this is what you're doing. What I really want is for you to do this.
Oh, I see. But then what happened when it's more than once? Okay, I leave it alone, and even if it's outside in a discussion,
mm-hmm.
it's always when the men are speaking,
yeah.
I have something valuable. But the minute it's like, or like, hurry up, like what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. So he becomes this other personality when he's with his guy friends.
Right.
Yes, with the guy, and it only happens with the guys. It's just weird.
Yeah,
with
no, it's common. It's a very common thing. You turn on the football game, and guys become another kind of personality. But listen,
together.
So it's your work. It's your job, Sandra, to bring this to his attention. He sounds like he'd be sensitive to changing. If not, you might need a third party, and I could get you somebody to just stand in the middle of this and say, what's his name?
Yee.
I would say, what gives here? You're presenting this way, and you're doing this, so don't you treasure this woman here? And I'm sure he would say, of course.
Which I think he does, but I don't understand. But you're right.
All right, Sandra.
It's not, but I feel hurt. Can I just one more thing, though?
Go ahead.
On the lateness?
Yeah.
I noticed the discussion about the lateness, how the other person feel hurt. But the person that is chronically late, I realize with myself and even my friends, I noticed that it's not a hateful thing or whatever, but I noticed that it's some kind of an anxiety with the person that's late themselves.
Like, absolutely.
When I'm going through to go somewhere, it depends on where I have to take out so many things, iron so many different outfits.
So Ingrid started us off today, and she acknowledged that is something about her. I think you're right on to it. Sandra, thanks for ending our show today.
Thank you, Chad.
Yes, keep calling us back. Thanks so much. You're listening.
Yes, and you were quite helpful.
I love the show. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Have a good
day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much,
bye.
Sandra. And thank you, Nasima, for being here with us today. It's always great to have you in the studio. Number here, if you weren't able to get through and you want to reach Kevin directly, you can call us at 212-757-4488. And you can always send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 p.m. only on 99.5 FM WBAI. Stay tuned.